the members of New Jersey's Plead the Widow's Cause have joined the Antidote for a talk. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Now we've got two of the band members here, so why don't you two introduce yourselves, tell us your roles, and who we're missing.
So I'm Ian. I do the vocals in the band.
Yeah, I'm Brett. I play guitar and do backing vocals sometimes.
We're missing Matt, who plays guitar, Mitch, who plays bass, and Bill, who plays the drums. I think they were a little busy tonight.
Of course, we're talking on a Saturday night.
That's true.
And that just means that you guys just have no fun in your life. But Brett has all the fun of having a newborn.
It's true.
Yeah.
Now, I'm really interested in hearing what inspired you guys to start up Plead the Widow's Cause.
Just a love for music and a love for God and wanting to combine those two. I don't know. I've been involved in music for most of my life. So it just kind of was something you do at this point. Me and some of the previous members of the band had been in a band together for a really long time before Plead the Widow's Cause ever happened. So we'd been playing music together for a bit. And we got Brett to play guitar. And yeah, we've just been doing it, I guess, since, what was it, 2021 started? Yeah.
So you're telling me that you moved from one band entity, almost intact, into being Plead the Widow's Cause.
Yes. Yeah. Over the stretch of a lot of years, like the other guitar player, Matt, and our old drummer, James, and I, we had been in a band together 12 years ago, I think, 11, 12 years ago. And we had just been playing music ever since. We tried a couple different things. Like we were in a different band beforehand. It was like more of an alt rock thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what this was going to be. But we decided we wanted to do a little bit heavier than like alternative rock. And then it kind of turned into what it is today with the addition of Brett as well, you know, and like his influences and everything. So, yeah.
Well, the history of Plead the Widow's Cause is fairly short. You guys began it, I read, in 2020. But something about you guys is that the music style of Plead the Widow's Cause goes back further than that. It's really late 90s, early 2000s post-hardcore. So you must be fans of that era.
Yeah, very big fans of that era. That's like a lot of our influences are from that specific time period.
And who inspired you?
For me personally, like my biggest inspiration, and I probably sound like a broken record to Brett at this point, because we've talked about it a lot, but it's this band Flyleaf. I got their CD from my pastor when I was pretty young, and it opened my eyes to like this heavy kind of music with like screaming and like fast parts and things like that. And it was something that I really liked a lot, and that was kind of the biggest inspiration and still is to this day for me.
But you don't have the scream that Lacey Sturm can do.
No, I certainly do not.
You know, if you became a woman and you were only 4'10", maybe you could pull it off.
She's a monster. My goodness.
What about you, Brett? Who did you enjoy?
Old Under Oath, like early 2000s Under Oath. As Cities Burn, the old stuff, Strong Arm, you know, going back in the 90s there.
Mm-hmm.
No Innocent Victim, really love Beloved, you know, great early 2000s post-hardcore band. Yeah, there's all different influences, but those are, you know, some of the ones that have specifically influenced some of the songs I've written and stuff like that.
The one thing that's in common with all of those artists is that they're all Christian artists.
Indeed. There's secular artists in there too. I know Thursday was a big influence for Pain Split when Ian was writing that, and Dan and those guys, and Title Fight's another big one.
Yeah, Have Heart is a really big one as well. I don't know. A lot of that melodic hardcore was nice to channel and listen to. And like, I like a lot of alt rock stuff too. So like that was a big influence in a lot of things. Even like Balance and Composure is one of my favorite bands, and you know, they're not very heavy at all anymore, but I love it.
2022, Plead the Widow's Cause released your debut, Pain Split. That's when I first heard about you. But when you put that EP together, were you guys nervous at all? Like wondering how people would respond?
I kind of assumed that not that many people would hear it. So that wasn't even a thought.
Yeah.
No, we were just happy to be making music. Like our goal has kind of just always been to play like just local shows. And that was it, you know, just have fun, like making music and like writing about something that matters. And, you know, whoever finds it. And if not, that's cool. But I don't think so. Were you nervous, Brett?
No, I feel like kind of the same as you. It was just like we recorded the album and put it out on, you know, all the streaming services and didn't really expect a whole lot from it.
You're making it sound as if you really just did the recording for yourselves.
Yeah, we kind of did.
Pretty much.
Now, that EP has powerful songs like Spirits Away, and you guys lay out your faith on that track. Towards the end of the song, it says, "You say my guilt is covered. I believe you. Take me to be with you." That sounds like you're speaking about being on the edge of death. Like, I mean, you guys aren't that old.
No, but that's, I mean, at the end of the day, that's where I want to be, you know, to live as Christ and to die as gain. So, you know, while we'll be here, but the end goal is not here for sure. Like, I, you know, don't store up your treasures here kind of stuff, you know?
So when you're making this music, are you really doing it from a ministry aspect? Like you're really out to change or to help people that you're meeting from stage?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, if it's something that affects somebody and they want to know more about it, absolutely. But there was never really like these specific plans for the music, which mm-hmm. is kind of like something that like an overflow of creativity and, you know, what we wanted to write about.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of, it's like kind of therapeutic too, you know, because a lot of the songs are very personal for us. So when you're writing lyrics or music and, you know, you're just kind of putting it out there, it's cool when it really connects with people and they tell you like, hey, this song really like impacted me in these specific ways. But yeah, I wouldn't say there was any specific mission like Ian said, but it was, you know, more of us just kind of pouring out like internal struggles and things we're dealing with and you know, all across the board, you know, with our faith and just with life.
Well, you've brought up the point on Pain Split. You've got that really melodic style, which is something I really adore about your music. And that comes out on Meant to Lose. But it's also one of your saddest songs because the character speaks about being unsure about where his life is going and not fitting in. Now, really, I'm hoping that that isn't actually a personal story.
So that is one that Matt wrote. So it's hard to say because we've never really like dug into it, but I think it's just like feelings more than necessarily like what is true. Like, you know, kind of just getting it out there. Like I feel this way inside. And I think everybody sometimes feels that way. At least that's my interpretation of the song. You know, Matt wrote the lyrics for it, so it's his song. But yeah, that's kind of how I've always seen it. An overwhelming feeling in a way, and he got it out that way.
We mentioned about that melodic style, but is that a real key to your music?
I would say, yeah, we have, like a lot of the songs we write have a lot of melodic parts. And I think like for me specifically, when I write music, I definitely lean more into the melodic stuff than just, you know, heavy breakdowns and riffs, even though I love playing and writing those as well. But that's just kind of where I go. And I kind of feel like maybe, Ian, you kind of do that too a lot.
Yeah, for sure. There's more emotion, I think, in certain chords, like being pretty and stuff. And it creates more tension when the heavy parts do come. You know, there's more contrast in the songs. It gives you more things to listen to as well. You know, there's so many bands out there who they just have breakdown after breakdown, which is awesome. I love it. But yeah. I don't know. I don't tend to write that way. That's not something we really write.
I guess I don't really want to say that this is typical, but it is common for a post-hardcore band to have lyrics that cover difficult topics. But do you guys find there's ever a time where you might want to bring in something that isn't quite as challenging as what you're releasing right now?
I don't know if I could write about things if they weren't as, I don't want to say extreme, but as like provoking, usually because it's screaming, you know, it's a lot of screaming. So there's emotion behind everything. I don't know. I guess we could. I just kind of never thought about writing lyrics that were lighthearted, I guess.
I feel like if anything, like the song Sunset on the new record is kind of like a more lighthearted song in a way, you know, it's more like, it's not as heavy.
So what you're telling me is that you're never going to turn into a melodic post-hardcore pop band.
No, probably not. No.
Yeah, probably not. No, maybe. I don't think we've written any happy love songs yet.
No.
Well, you know, the reason I asked about that is because the EP deals so often with death.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm Afraid of Final Goodbyes is a eulogy, and it comes also across as being really personal.
Yeah. So that's another Matt song he wrote when his grandmother passed.
Mm. That's tough when you have a close family member like that that passes away.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that really helped him by writing that song?
I don't know if it helped. I think it can help to get it out there. But, you know, again, it could just be, you know, thoughts and feelings. And, you know, I think music is the way that you can put that out there and be vulnerable with it. And you don't have to hold it in. I don't know. And you can share it with people and other people can hear it and be like, oh, I have a similar experience, you know, but everybody deals with it. So I think that that's something everyone can relate to. It's very common, you know, especially with grandparents. So, yeah, I think that's maybe why Matt wrote that way.
We've been speaking about songs that came from a couple of years ago, but now your band has just released your big one, the full-length Silver Glass Stare. Now, I've been wondering where that title comes from.
Yeah, so it's a cool story for that. We had a bunch of different like ideas for album titles when we were kind of brainstorming ideas of what we wanted to name it. You know, we were looking at different song lyrics and different ideas from those. And I was reading Lord of the Rings. In Lord of the Rings, it's very doom and gloom until, you know, the ring is finally destroyed and Middle-earth is brought back to, you know, a peace across all the kingdoms and things like that. But Gandalf is kind of reassuring Pippin, telling him, you know, if you do die, you know, death is not the end. The journey doesn't end here. And, you know, once the gray rain curtain of the world rolls back, everything turns to silver glass. And then you see it and it's like green grass and perfect. Everything's made right. And so I was kind of pulling from that because a lot of the themes in our songs are looking forward to, you know, the life after this life, the new heavens, the new earth, where there's perfect peace and everything's made right. And so pulling from those ideas in, you know, Tolkien's works and then grabbing that little silver glass mention in that quote. And then with the word stare, it's like looking forward, you know, that silver glass stare, looking forward to the world to come.
Well, now I need to know, are you guys more into the book or are you into the movies?
Oh, they'll make us choose.
We love it all.
I'm putting you on the spot.
They're both so good.
Yeah.
It really is. The books are cool, but the movies are, I think they're the best movies ever made. And I'll die on that hill.
It's probably one of the best movie adaptations of a book.
Yeah. And they're missing like tons of stuff too, but it works. You know, Aragorn doesn't even sing until the end, which is crazy because he's constantly singing in the books.
Yeah. But I don't think Viggo Mortensen is much of a singer. I actually met him. I was an extra in a movie that they filmed in our tiny little town here.
No way.
Really? It wasn't Lord of the Rings, was it?
No, it wasn't Lord of the Rings. No, I'm not living in New Zealand.
That's pretty cool, though.
That is cool.
Okay, so I was going way off track there. Let me pull it back in. Is it just me, or is Silverglass Stare more aggressive than your last release?
I think in ways certain songs are. I think there's a lot more in it. Like, hard to tell when it's your own stuff. I was like, what do you think about this one compared to the last one? And he said that there was just a lot more to listen to in this one. I think dynamically it's more all over the place too. I guess it could be more aggressive. I don't like albums when every song, like when you can't tell when the song changes either. And I think with post-hardcore, you really get that broad opening. You can kind of make a song like super heavy, and then you can make a light song, and they can fit on the same album somehow. And people are, you know, they just throw it under post-hardcore. And they're like, yep, yeah, that's what it is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we take advantage of that.
Yep.
It is something that happens with some bands. Okay, I'm going to bring in a specific example for today. And I used to love that band. And then it's like every album was just a duplication of the previous one. There's nothing to define their sound. It was just always the same.
Yeah, I agree. August Burns Red was another one that came to mind. Like, amazing. But every album, it's so hard to tell the difference sometimes, you know?
That's true.
The songs on Silverglass Stare do cover a lot of ground. One of the ones that stands out to me is Blackheart Love, because I can relate to it when it says, "You're yelling over the lies I tell myself. All of my problems look small. You tell me you love me. I hold on tight." So let's be honest here. What kind of lies keep returning?
This song was like just kind of being sick of sin, which I am every day. I hate that I do it. I hate that it exists in me still, and it always will until I'm dead, because I'm, you know, part of the flesh. Yeah, that specifically is like, you know, you get all clouded in your head and worked up, or, you know, you're so focused on how bad you are and all these things that you don't hear Jesus saying, like, I got it. It's covered, dude. Like, you're good. And like, just seeing him as that beautiful savior makes all the problems look so small.
Well, can it help to change the focus away from yourself onto God?
Because that's what we need
this
to do.
Is a self-centered society.
Yeah. Yeah. We always want something to do, you know, and we always want it to be about us, but it's not. The Bible's not about you. It's about Jesus.
You know, there's something different about Plead the Widow's Cause is that you guys, you're not doing the typical band thing. You know, instead of releasing a long series of singles like everybody else does, you jump right in by putting out a full EP or LP in this case. Is that the best way to market your music?
Probably not. We had a discussion about how we don't want to do singles, because we remember like getting albums, like when they drop back in the day, like it would all just drop at once. You know, you didn't get singles or anything like that. And I feel like singles oftentimes they burn you out to one song and they kind of skew your numbers. You know, like I'd rather see like what everybody's favorite song is from the album drop, you know, like then you can pick and choose, like, you know, we're not selecting one that we're like, oh, this is the song you should listen to the most, you know, or we think's the best. I kind of want people to decide that for themselves.
So what do you think, Brett? Should you guys have begun the band 20 years ago?
Yeah, when I was like a junior high kid, that would have been great. But when I was in junior high, I was not writing good music. So, but if we had done this probably 20 years ago, it probably would have been a lot different. But I mean, I'm happy that we're doing it now. I think it's cool. It's something different. And a lot of people have really enjoyed it. A lot of the feedback has been really cool to see how, like Ian was saying, like everybody has a different favorite song from the album, which is really neat. Cause you know, you got 11 different songs to choose from. So I think I've heard almost every single song be mentioned as somebody's favorite song, which is pretty cool.
I like so many of them for different aspects. You know, like the saddest song found on Silverglass Stare is Paper Cranes. which gets into about a man dying from radiation poisoning. Now, I know that title relates to something that actually happened during World War II, but you gave it a different perspective. So maybe I should get you to explain the actual song story.
So this was another one. This is a Matt song as well. I wish he was here.
Yeah, sure. I could be throwing darts at him.
Yeah, right. It'd be perfect. But this song was about a man who he had an accident, like a corporate accident. There was like a radiation, I don't want to call it like an explosion or something, but basically the corporation had him and his coworker get a safety step or something so they could produce, you know, product faster, something like that. And he got hit with a ton of radiation, and the song is about him basically dying from the outside, and like his body's just falling apart around him, and you know, his family and his kids are praying that he survives, and they fold 10,000 paper cranes, which, you know, after 1,000 paper cranes you get a wish in like Japan or something. I forget exactly what the context is. It's tricky. Yeah, it's just a story that like is very sad, and it was something that impacted Matt. And he wanted to write about it.
You brought up something I'd be curious about. If you folded 1,000 paper cranes and got a wish, if Plead the Widow's Cause was going to do that, what would your wish be?
Oh, man.
That's a very good question.
Like us collectively? We yes. get one wish?
Exactly. You as a band.
Oof.
The easy answer is that all come to Christ. I think that would be a pretty solid one.
Is that what you would really want? Or is that because what you should be saying as a Christian band? Big difference there.
I think, yeah. Yeah, I would want that for sure. What do you think, Brett?
No, I think that's a great answer. Especially because, like, you know, we have a lot of friends and stuff that we want them to see the truth. I was also coming at it from like the perspective of the band, like what would a wish for the band be, but I don't even know.
Yeah, I'm pretty like, happy with what we got.
I mean, we've gotten like awesome opportunities to like do different shows and just put out music, you know? I mean, there's not too much more to like really wish for. I mean, we're not trying to make money off the band, you know, it's just, but it's a really cool outlet for us to you know, get together and hang out and write music and play shows and just make the most of the talents we've been given.
So you're telling me that you don't want like August Burns Red and have a big 40-foot long motorhome to tour around in?
Nah.
That'd be fun, but I mean, I just, I don't know how we'd make it work. You guys got kids and wives.
Yeah. I mean, I like doing the like weekend stuff. That's always cool. But I don't know if like we'd really ever want to do like a full tour, you know. I think we kind of thrive on the local regional shows and the little weekend runs here and there, and you know, get out a little bit and play some new places and then come back. I think that's kind of where we thrive.
Let's talk about some of those shows, because I'm sure Plead the Widow's Cause aren't playing only in front of Christians. So how does a mainstream audience react to songs with Christian content?
So far, like, people have been really supportive and receptive. I don't even know if we've played a show that was just a Christian show. I think every show we've played has been with just people of different beliefs and different backgrounds, and you just get to interact and you get to build relationships, and it's really cool. We've made some good friends, and yeah, everybody's been really cool about it. Like, you know, they're moshing, they're out there, you know, singing the lyrics back to us sometimes. It's really cool.
I just remembered about this one. There was another song that had a rough topic, and it comes up on Clip the Wings. And it speaks about having a drug addiction to fill the void. How do you guys think that a person can keep clean?
How someone can stay clean, like off of drugs?
Mm-hmm.
Lots of steps. I guess it depends on like if you are a Christian or not too. I think that that has a lot to do with why you're getting clean. I think that's kind of the ultimate reason people do get clean, is there's a reason, like there's something they want more than that, you know, whether it be a better life here, they're doing it for a loved one, or they're doing it because they have to for work, or, you know, something.
Mm-hmm. There is one song title that I really hope won't end up describing Plead the Widow's Cause. Burn Bright, Burn Out. No one wants to see your band burn out. So how do you keep motivated to carry on?
Kind of keep the pressure off. I don't think we don't really force anything we don't want to do. We're all friends. And we just really enjoy writing together. And if Bill was here, he'd be like, I'm motivated by the message. You know, he loves what we're about. We love what we're about. You know, it's that common love for God and post-hardcore music, all that, you know? And I think that's why it's been going.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like a year ago. Yeah, it was a little over a year ago, but like at one point we were down to just, it was myself, Ian, and Matt as the three members of the band. You know, our drummer and our bass player stepped down. So, you know, we had a discussion the one time, like, what are we going to continue the band? Or are we going to keep doing this, you know? And we kind of came to that conclusion. There's no pressure for us to like do any crazy tours or, you know, do any kind of crazy like shows or sign to a label or whatever. It's like we can just write music and record music. And then we were able to find, you know, we asked Mitch, we asked Bill, and it just worked out, and we were able to get the songs ready for shows and for the studio, and, you know, we're back up and running again, and it's just really cool, you know, that there's, like Ian said, there's no pressure. It's just having a good time, like, hanging with your brothers and writing and playing music.
You guys do surprise me this way, because so many artists that I meet with, it's just the next big step up to the platform that they want to get. You know, they want that record label. They want to be signed to that. They want to be doing this and that and playing this tour and crossing the country. And you guys are just content just doing it, whatever gets thrown at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's. We've gotten like some cool show offers, and, you know, if they don't fit within our work and family schedules, we're just like, we just have to say no. And, you know, it's a bummer sometimes, but we just kind of do what we can. And if we can do stuff and travel a bit, like, we're down for it. It's just, you know, there's like Ian said again, no pressure.
Yeah, it's very casual. If those things presented themselves, like, let's say there was an offer for like a tour or something, and, you know, like the price was right to where we could like break even, because it is fun. You know, it's fun being on the road. It's fun seeing the country. So much out there, and, you know, so many different people. And I think playing shows is how you build connections with people, and you do get your music out there, you know. And I think that's something that is so important for music, is to be able to perform it, you know, being able to feel it live and like see the energy and be a part of it. It's very cool.
Well, if Plead the Widow's Cause ever makes it into Canada, you've got a place to stay here and a decent meal.
Yeah, thank you so
appreciate
much.
That.
Well, guys, I want to thank you for coming for this talk about Plead the Widow's Cause. It's been really good having you here on The Antidote.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.